Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. All right. Welcome to another episode of Charting Toward Intimacy. We don't have Kathleen with us. We have Agata. I'm so excited to have Agata on the episode today. Kathleen is taking a much needed break for a couple of episodes, so you'll have some guests in here popping in the next couple of episodes. All right. So before we jump in to the episode and introduce Agata, I'm going to answer a listener question. We answer a listener question at the beginning of every episode. We have an open question box. You're welcome to submit questions at any time. There's a link to that in the show notes, or you can reach out on Instagram and ask questions. At the end of the month, I take all of the questions that were submitted because I always get more than I can do in the like four episodes in a month. I take all those questions. I record a really in-depth, Q&A video, and that's available in the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. So if you want access to that video, there's a link in the show notes to join the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community for only $5 a month. All right. So our question today, this person, it's actually a statement, but I'm going to speak to it. I have very irregular cycles due to being 45 and in perimenopause. My husband is very frustrated. First off, I just want to say that you are not alone. Like perimenopause, which is in some ways defined as like the last 60 cycles, that you have. This is a difficult time to chart. I hope that you are working really closely with your instructor. A lot of methods have, slightly different protocols, for perimenopause. And so that could also help. You might also consider as well, if your method is not, is giving you really, really long periods of abstinence, consider looking into a method that utilizes cervical mucus. Cervical mucus is going to be the top priority during, perimenopause. And so methods like Creighton, Billings, and Boston Crosscheck are often really good choices. Creighton and Billings are really strong in cervical mucus. And then Boston Crosscheck, I like to recommend, simply because it has all the data. You're tracking cervical mucus, you're tracking basal body temperature and hormone levels in urine. And so a lot of times having all of the data can also kind of help, with those windows of abstinence as well. But as far as like the frustration goes, I think what this really comes down to is, you know, communication and, understanding, like, why is it that God has put sexual desires on our heart? Our sexual desires cannot be fulfilled by our husband or our wife. That's not what they're designed for. Those sexual desires that we have are designed to point us toward God. We are supposed to open up our desire to God. And so this time of extended periods of abstinence can be a really incredible opportunity for you to really dig into your faith, you and your husband both, and express the frustration to God. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, God, this is so hard. Why are you doing this to me? There's nothing wrong with that. Because if you're honestly asking that question, God's going to answer it for you. You know, he's going to give you the grace to get through it. So, you know, I think a lot of times people get kind of frustrated when they're like, oh, the answer is just pray it away. But like, truly, the answer is to pray. Like, get down on your knees, open this up to the Lord, go to him in adoration. Like, this is that time to really dig into, you know, why do I have these desires? What are these desires telling me? And how can I sanctify these desires and allow these desires to help me grow in holiness? So there's my little soapbox. Agata, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ellen. Thanks so much for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Agata is one of our NFP Basics coaches. If you don't know what NFP Basics is, there's a podcast episode about it several months ago, but it's a marriage prep program that I run to introduce couples to NFP basics. So that's where Agata harkens from. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Agata Yurids. I currently live in Texas, just recently moved there. It's still very hot here as always. So if you think it's hot, it definitely is. I'm just about an hour away from Austin. I am married to my wonderful husband. We are approaching almost 1 year of marriage in just a couple, 2 weeks. So almost there. I'm a cradle Catholic, the youngest of three. So I have two older sisters. Just love living out the faith and being able to support those around me too. So thanks again for having me, Owen.
Awesome. So today we are talking about, we're going to be doing some NFP myth busting, stuff that just is, struggle, you know, different questions that people have, different like struggles that people have, or like reasons why they don't want to, try NFP. That's what we're going to be talking about. We've got a whole bullet pointed list here. So let's just jump in our list here. The first one we have is, it is not a reliable way to avoid pregnancy, or, you know, it's ineffective. And, you know, I think honestly, that's a pretty simple response. If someone comes up to you with that of like, here is the data. Let me show you. Do you have anything kind of more to that?
Yeah, I think just today's society just pushes like that contraceptive mentality that when we try to talk about something other than that, then it seems like a shock to people. But the heart of it is there's just so much truth behind it. And I think once people truly like understand the meaning behind a woman's cycle and how your body actually works, I think there's a lot of truth that hasn't been untapped. So society definitely has a different outlook, but I've loved learning the efficacy of it and the different efficacies mm-hmm. of the different methods too. There's not just one. So it's great.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of where this comes from is two things. And one of them is going to lead us right into our next bullet point that we have. But, I think most people in society like don't realize that we have this cycle and we have this window of fertility. And so there is this immediate distrust because that's not what we were taught in sex ed. I personally was in one of those sex ed classes that said there's no such thing as safe sex. Like, and it's like, wow, that's so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next thing we have on this list here is like this understanding, this thought process that like, if you have sex, you will get pregnant no matter where you are at in your cycle. Just this complete misunderstanding of how the female fertility cycle works.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that being said too, there's kind of how you touched upon like in sex ed, like I think you have to really hit home on it a couple of times, because I just remember learning in sixth grade, you know, just about your cycle and period. And I grew up with two older sisters, so I had just a general understanding, but it honestly, I know it's a little embarrassing to say, but like, it honestly took me like learning an NFP method to like know like, wow, I ovulate at around this time every month and my period comes at this time every month and I don't have to be surprised when it comes. So
yeah,
it's so insightful and it brings me so much joy to talk about it with other people, like what you're going through right now, like you don't have to struggle with it. And that goes with a lot of things, not just when we can talk about this later too. I know that I'm jumping points here with if you have like medical diagnoses or if you have irregular cycles, but more so like the emotions, like, oh, why am I feeling this way during this time of month? And why am I mm-hmm. more productive during this time of month? It really just like is so eye-opening just to learn about natural family planning and the way that a woman's body works too.
Oh my gosh. I could go on and on about just how much, and I know that there's like other episodes too, where I do kind of go on and on about just the recognition of like where I'm at in my cycle has helped me be able to just like manage my life so much better. And be able to like not be angry with myself when I'm like toward the end of my cycle or like during menstruation. And I just like, my energy level is zero. And I just like can't even fathom throwing a load of laundry in. Let's see. Another one we have on here is, and this kind of again goes along with the same, like, we don't know how the cycle works. Like, if people are like, oh my gosh, well, you can ovulate multiple times in the cycle. And, how could you ever avoid pregnancy? Cause like ovulation will just like come up again. And that is like so not true. When you go to take a full course of instruction, an instructor would really walk you through like exactly why this is, but you can't ovulate more than once outside of a certain 24-hour window. Like once the first ovulation has happened, 24 hours later, it is impossible for ovulation to occur again. There are rare occurrences where two ovulations do happen, but they happen within that same 24-hour window, period. That's when you see fraternal twins. That is like a case of two ovulations happening in the same cycle, but those ovulations happened within that same window of time. And that's relatively rare. That's not something that like regularly happens to all women. I mean, if it was, we'd have a lot more fraternal twins in the world. And we don't. So, okay. Another one, you can't use NFP if you have irregular cycles. I hear this one so much. I think this was even a question that I answered like a few episodes ago, like just as a listener question. NFP does work with irregular cycles. And here's why. With the modern methods of fertility awareness, the ones that we promote on this podcast, so we're talking Creighton, Billings, Boston Crosscheck, FEM, Symptothermal, I'm missing one. Oh, Marquette. what they're doing is they are tracking in real time the your biomarkers. And so they're giving us real time data of what's going on. And so if you have irregular cycles, like particularly long cycles, it means that ovulation is delayed for some reason. So if you're tracking in real time, you'll see the signs of ovulation and know when you've hit that fertile window because those signs of ovulation are present. Now sometimes with irregular cycles, like in the learning period, you might have longer periods of abstinence because you're getting to know your cycle. You're getting to know what those signs of fertility look like for you. A lot of times if you have irregular cycles, I recommend like a mucus only method because they have the most flexibility with that fertile window. Because they're really going in depth with the mucus sign. I don't mean flexibility in that, like, I don't know how to explain what I meant by flexibility. I just feel like those are probably going to be your better bet if you have really irregular cycles. Because ones that rely on, like data from previous cycles are going to be a little bit harder for you, in the learning phase. That's just, if you have more questions about that, just reach out to me. Oh my gosh. Okay. And the next one we have is your doctor will support you 100% of the way. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Unless you have like a NAPRO doctor or like a really awesome like Catholic NFP doctor, like, which I wish.
It's sometimes like scary going in and like saying like, oh, you know, I use natural family planning, and you're sometimes like afraid of the reaction, but like, don't be afraid, you know, share with your doctor. Thankfully where I am, I feel like the doctors seem to be more understanding. So I think just like being able to share that, it has been really helpful. But doctors sometimes have another way of, you know, prescribing something that may not, doesn't mm-hmm. fit with just how we live out our lives. And so being able to really stand up for that, is something that, I'm still like bracing for, but I think trying to right. embrace it rather than bracing for it, like being prepared, being strong is helpful.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, definitely. All right. Now we're gonna, those were sort of our myths as far as like the science of fertility, goes. Now we're going to start kind of moving into a little bit more of the, personal, myths, the interpersonal, I guess, interpersonal myths. Okay, this one is awesome. And actually, this first one that we have, and actually we have a whole podcast episode about this coming out. So just hold tight. It will always work exactly how you want it to work. You know where this comes from, Agata, is like our contraceptive culture is very black and white about like pregnancy avoidance. You're either trying to get pregnant or you're not. Mm-hmm. But like, what if you're neither of those? What if you're just trying to unite with your husband and like, maybe you get pregnant or maybe you don't? Like, it's, and this, I think, comes out a lot in like NFP circles of like, oh, are you trying to avoid or trying to achieve? Right. And, thankfully, I think we're seeing a lot more conversation around the fact that like, this isn't black and white. Like, this is kind of, there's kind of a spectrum, right? But part of the difficulty is like, instructors are always going to teach you like the rules for avoiding pregnancy, right? And so then it feels very like, oh my gosh, I have to follow the rules. Like, if we're avoiding pregnancy, and it's like, well, no, actually, those are like, those are for avoiding pregnancy. They're not rules for your marriage. Like, you're allowed to have sex whenever you want. You're married.
So true. So true. Yeah. And, yeah, on that too, just like with it working the way that you want it to work, that's where sometimes like that frustration can kind of come out with it. And so just really being patient with whatever method you choose. That's why choosing a method with an instructor is super helpful, because you have your, not only do you have your husband, you know, hopefully supporting you within your journey, but also like the instructor to be able to go back to when things can get just frustrating, confusing. And but it's always nice to have that support along the way too. That's why I really appreciate having my instructor, just to always touch base with every now and then.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, totally. But I think too, where this like comes from too, is like from our culture that is so obsessed with contraceptives. And particularly like our culture is obsessed with having sex without the quote consequence of sex, with meaning babies, meaning the fruit of sex, right? That's trickled into, sadly, our Catholic marriages, our Christian marriages, of like, well, I want to be able to have sex with my husband without the consequences. And here's the thing, like, sex makes babies. And so, yeah, like, that's just not what NFP is for. Like, NFP is a tool that allows us to like discern God's will and avoid pregnancy according to, you know, certain guidelines and highly effective guidelines. But at the same time, like, there are passions within marriage that are more important to follow than not getting pregnant. And I mean, that's at, yeah. I don't want to go too much into that. We'll keep going. Okay. So, this is like two together, which I've heard both of these, which always kind of make me laugh. Okay. So one of them is you only have to abstain for like a week when you're avoiding pregnancy. And then the other one is you have to abstain all the time if you're avoiding pregnancy. You just have to just completely abstain. Neither of those are true. I don't think there's any fertility awareness method that finds that short of a window. Like, I'd be shocked if someone had that short of a window. Typically, I think the window you're looking at is about 9 to 15 days. So we're looking at somewhere between a third to about half of a month. You know, so we're looking at like a week and a half to two weeks in a day. Yeah, so it's longer than a week, but it's also not all the time. Like, you know, there's still that other half, roughly, of the cycle, maybe two-thirds of the cycle, or or if you have a particularly long cycle, it might even be more or less than that, kind of depending on how accurately you're tracking. But I think I see this a lot of like couples who are like, oh my gosh, we only ever have like 3 days available. And I'm like, all right, if that's true, you need to be seeing a doctor about your hormones, because if you only have 3 days that are available, like you do not have enough, a long enough luteal phase. And like, that's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's kind of its own topic. What do you have anything to say on these?
Yeah, I think, I just remember being in college at my Neiman Center, and just like hearing, a video from a speaker. I was just attending like an NFP talk. It was a great talk, but I remember I was like under the impression that, oh, you know, you only have to abstain for X amount of time. And the way that the presenter presented it, it seems like a very like pretty picture. And it was really this is like gonna be easy. And I'm not saying that it's not. I mean, some parts of NFP are, I mean, the graces that come from it are amazing. Is it always easy? Not all the time. And do you have to abstain for a week? You know, I mean, like you mentioned, Ellen, every cycle is different. And like every person is different too. So while I tend to ovulate, you know, around the same time every month, give or take a few days, my cycle can completely change next month if I'm traveling or if I'm sick or if I have a big stressor. So that will obviously change that window, whether I'm trying to avoid or trying to conceive, whatever, you know, your situation is. There are several like factors, like life factors that can change your window. So, it's kind of just reminds me of that typical doctor example of you ovulate day 14. That's like the perfect cycle.
Right.
And that isn't everybody.
it's not
easy way to like look into a cycle in a typical 28 day cycle. I don't know where I got 24, but those are just kind of my two cents on it.
that's still within the normal range. So no. If you have a 24 day cycle, you're fine. All right. Let's move on to the last couple that we have. So this one, we're not going to talk too much on this next one because we do have an entire episode about this. So this one, there's no way that fertility awareness can be used selfishly. So go check out our episode called Selfish NFP, that Kathleen and I did, several months ago. Looking early 2023, roughly. But here's the thing, like fertility awareness is a tool. All tools in our world can be used for good and they can be used for evil. All tools, a pair of scissors can be used for good. It can cut out a cool thing in a piece of paper for your child, or it can be used to stab someone, right? There's a tool that can be used for good and evil easily. Okay. Fertility awareness is a tool. What we talk about when we talk about natural family planning is we talk about fertility awareness plus real prayer and discernment. Not just, oh yeah, I did. I prayed about it. I thought about it one time last month. No, that's not what we mean by prayer. We mean regular prayer, going to mass with this intention on your mind for mass, going to adoration for your discernment process, having conversations with your husband on a monthly basis. I'm getting back onto a soapbox here. If you really are praying and discerning, it's pretty much impossible to use a tool for evil. Meaning good and evil, meaning like the moral principle that there are good acts and there are evil acts. Like, I'm not saying like you are an evil person. It's just that's just morally what they're called. If you are really walking with the Lord, it's really hard to use a tool for moral evil, right? But if you're not, it can slip, you know, you can slip into a illicit, immoral action. Anything? Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think just also, not just having that conversation once a month, like multiple times throughout the month, because you might have that conversation when you're in the midst of a fertile window, and that conversation might look different if you're at a different, you know, due to hormones. And so I've definitely had many conversations with my husband. And one thing my instructor recommended is like deciding in the beginning of the month, like having that conversation at the beginning of the month and maybe like continuing that, but knowing it can change. But one thing that's helped me is that like God will always tell you the answer, but you have to talk with him. You have to communicate with him the same way you communicate with your husband. Just having all three of you just continually having that conversation. And like you mentioned, Ellen, like, oh, I had it last month or the month before, just having that ongoing conversation, because that's so important and valuable within a marriage and your relationship with your husband, and or your, for husbands too, relationship with your wife and relationship with God as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one in here, it will make your marriage divorce proof. Oh my gosh, I hate this one. You guys, it's a tool. It's a tool. Where this is coming from is data that couples that use NFP have lower divorce rates. Guess what? Couples that use NFP also attend mass regularly, pray regularly, discern regularly, try to grow in faith. Like, I think those are what are divorce proofing your, like, if you want something to divorce proof your marriage, go to daily mass with your spouse. Like, there's your divorce proof. Like, I mean, you got, like, it's not NFP that, like, stop telling engaged couples that, like, that isn't going to be the reason. And in fact, if there are deep seated issues within the relationship, and they are not, and like both husband and wife are not actively trying to grow closer to Christ, like every day of their lives, like using fertility awareness and then having to avoid pregnancy is going to open up a whole can of worms that's probably going to lead to some more issues. So yeah, just stop telling people that. It will be easy. I don't really have much to say to that one. Like, no, it's just not going to be easy.
I can touch base on like the other aspect, just to like enlighten your listeners. It sometimes though, it's easier than I think it would be. Like sometimes I, when I was like learning about NFP, I do the Marquette method. I thought I had to test every single day. That's my myth that I busted myself. So I thought like the testing, I don't know where I got that from. For some reason, I was like, I need to purchase like 30 sticks every day. So that was not true. You don't have to test every day. If you do, like you're testing as part of your biomarker. So there are times that are a little bit more difficult. However, to enlighten, there are times that, but you're like, wow, this is way easier than I thought it would be, aka my situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. Another one, your spouse will always know where you are at in your cycle. No, you have to communicate like what's going on in your chart, either like have the chart available for your husband to look at himself, or, actively look at it together a couple of times, like throughout the cycle, or like give him heads up, like whatever works for your communication style. But like, no, like you might know where you're at in your cycle because you are charting every single day, but like these aren't things that are going on inside of your husband's body. Like they're things that are going on in your body. And so, yeah, that's a really important thing to communicate. I'm going to keep moving through these because we're getting close to time, and I don't want to miss these last couple.
Absolutely.
Couples that practice NFP have sex less often. Now, this is an interesting one. Cause I think people, like, we're so hyper focused on like, am I having enough sex in my relationship? That'd be a great podcast episode. That's a whole thing. Like there's just this like, oh my gosh, like, what are other people doing? I have to keep up with the Joneses. Like, I don't think our marriage isn't good enough. We're only having sex 5 times a week. I mean, clearly we're not having enough sex, right? I'm exaggerating. But like, c- some couples that practice NFP do have less sex than they would if they weren't. And other couples don't. But like that doesn't matter. What matters is like making sure that you and your husband are connecting both emotionally and physically in ways that are appropriate for your relationship. And in ways that are helping you both grow closer together and grow closer to God. Like that's, so that might mean sex once a year for you. And that's wonderful. But like, make sure it's enough for both of you, right? Like,
100%.
Okay. This last one. So good. You can do this again. Myth. This is a myth. You can do half NFP. I'm putting quotes on that. So like, as long as I'm unitive and procreative most of the time, as long as I'm open to life most of the time, generally open to life, it's fine if like this one time we use a condom or like this one time we pull out or I just like masturbate this one time or yeah, I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, no. Let me tell you about the principle of totality. Like, well, actually, we'll not even get into that. When it comes to your life and your salvation, the only thing that matters is the present moment. What you did in the past doesn't matter for making an action like morally good or morally evil. And like you can go back and listen to our like evaluating human action episode. It was, I think it was titled, defining licit and illicit acts. Like there are certain, you know, there's a certain way of evaluating a human action. And you evaluate that each time you do the same action. The circumstances do not change it. Your intention doesn't change anything. Like that sentence doesn't make any sense. And let me explain to you why the sentence, oh, well, we're generally open to life, but like, it's okay if sometimes we're not. How does the sentence, how does this sentence feel to you? Well, I'm generally faithful to my husband, but sometimes I'm not. Right? No. No, that's not okay. Infidelity is not okay. Like, right? So we can't just be okay with sometimes being not open to life. Like that's not how sex works. Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I think just reiterating everything, Ella, that you said just hits the nail on the head, but just being able to, when you are doing the act fully, just, and you are practicing NFP fully, there's no half doing it. There's, you know, you, Ellen, you just said it perfectly. Can't add anything else to that. It's great.
Well, Agata, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and chatting with me and brainstorming some of these like myths to roll through and bust some myths to bust. I have to be honest with you guys, like Agata came up with like half of these. So like I might have spoken to many of them, but Agata is the brains behind this episode.
Well, Ellen, thanks for having me on and thank you for everything that you do. You're such an inspiration to all and just really appreciate everything. So thanks again.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time. We'll be right back.